Say, Lord Jesus,
I have ears to hear.
I have ears to hear.
I have eyes that see.
I have eyes that see.
And my heart is perceiving.
And my heart is perceiving.
You're about to get a hold of me.
You're about to get a hold of me.
Amen?
Amen.
You know, when the Lord begins his work in us, I believe he works with us in different ways at different times and different seasons. But the important part is he doesn't stop. Okay? It's a prayer of David. And we'll start with verse 1. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant, who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Now, I'd like to make sure that you realize your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. A lot of times, you think that you're the only one that has had a soulish issue. But every one of us have soulish issues. So did King David. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you. Notice he's declaring. For you will answer me. If you want a statement of faith, that's it right there. In the day of my hardship or trouble, I will call to you. For you will answer me. It's not, oh God, why are you not answering me? The attitude of your heart is going to change the way that God responds to you. Amen. When the attitude of your heart is in adoration and in respect, you're going to get an answer. But when it is full of criticalness, because you're holding somebody hostage, meaning God sometimes, how can he answer you? What I just shared with you about my dad and the hardship that we had together. Do you know that the Lord at one point said to me, the very demon that operates in your dad that you can't stand is operating in you? You'll find that in Romans chapter 2. The very thing that irritates you about someone else is the very spirit that is operating in you, keeping you divided. I would have never been able to intercede for my dad and anoint him and give him an ability to see a little bit of heaven before he was going to go there. And I'm not advertising on me. I'm advertising on his Holy Spirit using my mouth and using my soul. I can tell you that when the Lord impacted the charismatic movement in the Roman church, I was part of that. Where the Holy Spirit impacted many people. And now these people are in my age level. And it's time that we open up. It's not too late. It's time. Now watch verse 8. Among the gods there is none like you. Why does he say among the gods? If there were no other gods in your life and you only had that one, why would he make that comment? Because in David's day there were worshipers of all kinds of demons. And there are today, but some of them are religious demons. And I don't want you to get caught. Again, verse 8, among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. No need to compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. I believe that's happening now in Israel. And it's happening now in the United States of America. And there are other nations that are bowing their knee to the sovereignty of the Redeemer. They may not be fully redeemed, but God is on the job. Verse 10. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. So there are other little gods with a G-O-D-S, but you can recognize the one that has provided salvation, who's still on the throne, released his spirit into each and every one of you, and you need to begin to trust his abilities inside of you. That he's able to speak and give a word of knowledge. He's able to give you a word from your spirit to bring life into those that are dying. But it's not going to happen without your coordinates in the body. 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. This is, you should be underlining the next verse. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your nature. I know it says name. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your nature. That's a gift that he provides. It's not something that you're going to gain on your own. It's going to come a little bit at a time in most cases. What is his nature? His nature is love. He's not after putting you down beneath his feet. He's after lifting you up to build you up so that you can do the work that he's designed and prepared you to become and to do in the body of Christ, not just for you, but for those in your home and your families. 12. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. There's your thankfulness scale. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. Most people don't even believe it. But that's where you've been. For how many weeks, Gail? Many. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. Oh, really? Why is it that I'm still afraid of it? Because I don't understand. And a lot of my misunderstandings will destroy me. It doesn't say you might deliver me from the grave. It says you will. Or you shall, if you wish. Deliver me from the depths of the grave. 14. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. Ha ha. The nature of those that can't stand you is because they are arrogant. They got all the answers. That's why they're going to try to tear you down and to destroy you. They have an agenda from hell. A band of ruthless men seek my life. You're going to have some of those. You're going to be aware of them. But you're going to have to be aware that if by arrogant responses, you will gain nothing. You can agree with your enemy quickly and respect their decision to disagree with you or download their anger towards you and say, I understand where you're coming from. And sometimes you might even say, because I used to live there. You see, when I was attacking my dad under the spirit of arrogance and trying to protect him, because I knew he was hurting himself and he was hurting my mother, and I wanted it to stop. So the Lord said to me, the very demon that hates your dad and hates you is pride. So when you decide to humble yourself and ask him to forgive you because you need to respect him. You see, I had lost respect. I was tired of watching him destroy my mother. So I had a good reason to stay angry at him. And that day, I understood Ephesians 6:12. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. And the very demon that's dividing you can be going beneath your feet if you choose to do it my way. So I proceeded. I remember calling my buddy and I said, I need prayer. I can't go on. I need prayer. Where are you? When can you come? Where can I meet you? I need prayer. It was a matter of life and death. That day, I tried and started to confess my sin of being angry at my dad. I couldn't talk to my dad about it, but I could talk to my friend. Matthew 18 says, two of you in agreement. So my buddy and I prayed. I confessed my anger, my bitterness, and my judgmental mind. And when I did that, it broke the hold of pride. It didn't go very far. It lasted for a few days. I did have enough time to go and ask my father to forgive me. But then the enemy came with a whole new list of junks that I could use as tools to get back under his anointing. See, those are those other gods that you serve, unwillingly and unknowingly. Why are they seeking your life? Why do ruthless men seek your life? Men without regard for you. That's part of verse 14. If you understand the demonic realm is looking to destroy every believer in the earth, every real Christian, every real believer is under a threat. But you're to walk in love. Pray for those that can't understand you. Lift them up before the Lord. And if you need to go to them, the Holy Spirit will impact you to do it and to go and ask for forgiveness. Verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant. Why is he asking for strength? Because some of this you're not going to do on your own. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant me strength. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Notice that he's talking about himself. He's talking about the one that brought him to life, his mother. And in humility, when I approached my dad, my mother came back to life as well. You see, when the enemy was beneath both my dad's feet and my feet, my dad came to the Lord. A few months later, he bought a whole bunch of French Bibles and went off to Canada with my mom and went to all his relatives and told them about Jesus. That was quite a few years before he went home. You see, my dad had become an object of their ridicule because him and his brother made a bad judgment in 1948, and they ended up losing everything through bankruptcy. And the entire family turned against him and his brother, including his dad, who refused to help him. So he had to go to his brother-in-law, who had a few dollars ahead of him, and borrowed money so that we could come to the United States in 1948. But the injuries happened over and over and over. Can God pull you through what you perceive as hopeless? Yes. Can he heal you from the hurts of the past? Yes. Who is he going to use? Different parts of the body that will be ministering to you as he sees fit. Again, 16, turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness. Isn't that cool? That my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Your confidence is not in your own strength. It is in his ability to build you up and to make you strong. Your dependency on yourself will go less and less as you mature in Christ. Your ability and his abilities to carry you when you're hurting will continue to increase. You say, I can't wait. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. The more you push, you're going to hurt yourself. The more you rest in him, you're going to start feeling the changes that he wants for you. And they're going to come. They're going to be established because he loves you. Now put your right hand over your heart. Put your Bible down. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Your plan for my life.
Your plan for my life.
Is unfolding.
Is unfolding.
As I go forward.
As I go forward.
The fear of opening up.
Fear of opening up.
About how much I'm hurting.
Needs to go beneath my feet.
If there's someone in my house
that's hurting
and can't stand me, and I have a hard time with them, I'm asking for grace to get this thing called
pride
beneath my feet.
It will not rule me.
In Jesus' name, I stand against arrogance and self-satisfaction and all of its friends. Pride, the Lord rebuke you. You will not operate in this house with my permission. You are an adversary, and I know it. And I'm letting you know now.
And I'm letting you know now.
You will not control me.
You will not control me.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
For mercy.
For mercy.
And favor.
And favor.
And grace.
And grace.
To carry me to the next level.
To carry me to the next level.
As I mature.
As I mature.
I'll have mercy towards myself.
Including
those that have been broken.
Maybe by my weird
reactions.
Or arrogant words.
Let those fall to the ground.
Where I can walk on them.
And the gift of grace.
And mercy.
To take me to victory.
Amen.
And amen.